This morning on WCHL, Confidence has one candidate for Orange County Sheriff battling down the home stretch.
The intensity is unbelievable.
The early voting numbers were down again to start out the week during the most dangerous travel holiday of the year. Chapel Hill police were out in full force.
The first week we had 94 charges, and then for the second week we had 174 charges.
And today marks the one-year anniversary of the sneaky addition of a very controversial bill in North Carolina. These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill Carborough traffic and weather together. In WCHL Championship Sports this morning, former Tar Heel Tyler Zeller is headed to the Boston Celtics. Plus, UNC head football coach Larry Fedora says the defense is going to be something to watch out for this season. And
who is the UNC benefactor paying Rashad McMars $10 million?
That's this morning in our Chansky Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
7:07 at WCHL, 77 degrees in Chapel Hill. A little on the warm side this morning, but it won't get a lot warmer. Our high today in the middle 80s. The big chance of rain today and maybe some heavy rainfall late in the afternoon. All in all, 60% chance it will get wet. Orange County Sheriff candidate David Caldwell says he's feeling good about what he calls a history-making election in the upcoming second primary for the office, despite the typical low voter turnout for runoffs. WCHL's Danny Hooley has more on the story.
The intensity is unbelievable. The amount of people that are involved and more informed has really blown me away.
That's Orange County Sheriff candidate David Caldwell comparing the first six-way Democratic primary for Orange County Sheriff back in May and the runoff election between himself and Charles Blackwood that comes up on July 15th. Nearly 6,000 voters cast ballots in the early voting period leading up to that May primary, which could have determined the next person to take the job since there are no Republicans running. But no clear winner emerged. Blackwood received the most votes at 30%, but 40% was needed to avoid a runoff, and Caldwell was only a little more than 60 votes behind him. Blackwood recently expressed concerns to WCHL that low voter turnout in the runoff could spell trouble for his campaign. Caldwell, however, told WCHL that he was optimistic after 2 days of early voting had been completed, and 481 votes have been cast at the Orange County Board of Elections office in Hillsborough. He said that's actually more than he expected, which is one of the reasons Caldwell said he felt so hopeful.
I think this is going to surprise a lot of people. I don't think it's going to be as low as they think. It's going to be a history-making election.
For another thing, he said, it will mark the first time residents have voted in a new sheriff in 31 years. If elected, Caldwell would be the first African-American Orange County sheriff in a history of the office that dates back to 1752.
Another history-making event that makes this election so important. I think one of the reasons why so many people are excited about it. It's just going to be history-making all around.
Retiring Sheriff Lindy Pendergrass has endorsed Blackwood, who began his career in the Sheriff's Department in 1980 under Sheriff Buck Knight. Caldwell is a lifelong Orange County resident, who's worked for the Carborough Police Department in addition to 22 years with the Sheriff's Department. Between those two jobs, he served in the Army, in Germany, and Grenada. He told WCHL that his love for Orange County is what kept him coming back, and it's what drives him in this race.
Many people in my neighborhood that I grew up with and went to school with, they left Orange County and didn't come back because they felt there was no opportunity, there was nothing here for them, and things of that nature. I'd like to see Orange County being a place where the families did come back and did stay.
The second primary race between Caldwell and Blackwood has been cordial, and the debate has been thoughtful. But there's been a slight controversy over the issue of campaign signs mysteriously disappearing.
I've received several calls from people saying the signs that they had put up were missing and asked if I was going to put any more out or purchase any more. And I just advised that was something that we didn't have control over, and I could spend their money, their donations to my campaign a lot better on things that I could control.
Caldwell has picked up endorsements from former primary opponent Andy Cagle, as well as members of the Chapel Hill Town Council, the Carborough Board of Aldermen, the Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools Board of Education, and the Orange County Board of Commissioners. You can find a link to all of Caldwell's endorsements in this story on our website, chapelborough.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Early voting numbers continued their downward trend on day three, with 141 people casting their ballots for Orange County Sheriff. Day three is the last day for which we have the numbers. Numbers for day four, which was yesterday, will come out at about 9 a.m. today. Charles Blackwood and David Caldwell are in the runoff for the position. The two are separated by just more than 60 votes back on May 6th. Neither received more than 40% of the vote. Second place finisher Caldwell was able to call for this runoff. Only the Board of Elections headquarters is taking votes in the early voting process because of the historically low turnout for runoffs in general. All 44 precincts will be open on Election Day itself, which is Tuesday. The polls are open each day this week from 9 to 5, and on Saturday from 9 to 1, and then on Tuesday, all the polls will be open from 6:30 a.m. until 7:30 p.m. The Orange County Board of Elections office is at 208 South Cameron Street in Hillsborough, right next to Orange County Financial Services. Governor Pat McCrory has criticized the North Carolina Senate for failing to bridge a budget impasse on education and walking out on education leaders during negotiations. The governor made the comments on Wednesday during a meeting of his education cabinet. Senate Republicans walked out of a budget meeting after the House asked educators to speak at the meeting. McCrory said that the Senate should be listening to educators, not walking out on them. He said he's disappointed in the Senate and isn't concerned about agitating them, adding that he needs to stand up for North Carolinians. The Senate's budget includes an 11% teacher raise, but makes cuts in funding for teachers' assistants and to Medicaid to pay for it. McCrory called the raise unrealistic and unsustainable long-term. Today marks the one-year anniversary of the legislature's greatly unfavorable bill, SB 353, also known as the Motorcycle Vagina Bill. The Motorcycle Vagina Bill was originally presented to the Senate as a bill that would increase methods of motorcycle safety. However, in reality, the majority of SB 353 was actually dedicated to accessibility of abortion, which made it difficult for women to access sanitary and reliable clinics. Additionally, it prohibited insurance plans, even those under the Affordable Care Act, to pay for abortions, as well as required the presence of a doctor at all times when a patient is given drugs for inducing abortions. Abortion rights advocates in North Carolina say they're in the dark about the new rules required by the year-old law that they fear could effectively shut down many of the state's clinics. The law will require abortion clinics to meet the same standards as outpatient surgical centers. The state has 15 abortion clinics. The only facility that had met the current standards for surgical centers no longer provides abortions. Lawmakers and groups like Planned Parenthood are waiting for the State Department of Health and Human Services to draft new rules, but say they've heard nothing yet on what they will look like. The agency would not comment on what the rules would include, but said that it's still working on writing them. The legislature did not set a deadline for when the rules had to be finished. Despite the disapproval of a vast number of North Carolina citizens, this bill was introduced in the middle of the night, which sparked immense controversy over women's rights in the previous session. Speaker of the House and now Republican candidate for U.S. Senate, Tom Tillis, was one of the politicians who worked to make certain that the bill was passed. He continued to push the bill despite the 80% of voters in North Carolina who believed it was not appropriate to include restrictions on abortion within a bill about motorcycle safety. Some politicians spoke out, claiming they didn't even know that these changes had been made to include legislation about abortion availability, while others voted despite the abortion pieces in order to increase safety for motorcyclists. There was even a Moral Monday protest focusing exclusively on women's rights and leadership, which followed the passing of the infamous bill. It ended up being one of the largest turnouts the protest event has seen and ended in hundreds of arrests. SB 353 proved to be a seriously controversial bill that had some calling into question the morality and acceptability of utilizing one particular proposal to pass legislation regarding something that is wholly unrelated. Opponents said it significantly jeopardized women's rights and created a highly unfavorable situation for all members of the North Carolina Senate. WCHL News Time, 7:15. Time now for traffic and weather together. We'll start with traffic brought to you by Crown Honda of South Point.
Thank you very much, Ron. We're seeing the usual slowdowns right now, 15501 northbound and southbound between Ephesus Church Road and Garrett Road. That's through the I-40 interchange, just minor to moderate delays. You might see it extending a little bit further south in both directions as well, down to Estes Drive, so be on the lookout there. No other delays to let you know about through the Chapel Hill Carborough area. I-40 moving smoothly as well, and there's no accidents to report at this time. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, though, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8300. 763, or you can tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
All right, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Carolina Inn's Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar is the place where you can savor delectable cuisine prepared with fresh local ingredients created by the executive chef James Clark and a very talented culinary team. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant, a favorite place for gourmet cuisine. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather brought to you by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. 76 degrees in Chapel Hill, 75 this morning in Carborough, also 76 this morning in Hillsboro. Cloudy all day, scattered showers with isolated thunderstorms possible this morning, 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, and maybe some locally heavy rainfall late in the day, high today about 85. Tonight, mostly cloudy, still 6% chance of rain with a low around 68 degrees, and again, it could get some heavy out there. Tomorrow, we're looking at mostly cloudy, slight chance of showers in the morning, then a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, high one more time in the middle 80s. So it's going to be warm, but not as warm as we have experienced, and a big chance of some heavy rain.
Good morning from 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL. You're waking up with Ron Stutz. And remember, we're your station for the Tar Heels.
WCHL News Time is 717. Law enforcement officers all over North Carolina recently carried out a two-week Booze It and Lose It initiative called Operation Firecracker in an effort to keep roadways safe around the July 4th holiday. Operation Firecracker was carried out from June 17th through July 6th by proclamation of the North Carolina Department of Transportation and the Governor's Highway Safety Program. Speaking recently with WCHL, Chapel Hill Police Department Public Information Officer Lieutenant Josh Meesemore broke down some of the results here in Chapel Hill.
The first week we had 94 charges, 54 for speeding, 4 for DWI, and then for the second week we had 174 charges, 80 for speeding, 12 for seatbelt violations, and 2 for DWI.
Meesemore said the DWI numbers may actually be slightly higher. He explained that the data he was citing showed only the most serious offenses each individual was charged with, and sometimes, he said, drunk driving was not at the top of the list. During Operation Firecracker, Chapel Hill Police conducted a couple of checkpoints as well as saturation patrols in various sections of Chapel Hill. NCAA President Mark Emmert told a Senate committee on Wednesday he supports scholarships for life and other reforms in how athletes are treated, then did such a good job of casting himself as a powerless figurehead that one senator told him, "I can't tell whether you're in charge or whether you're a minion." Emmert faced a skeptical Senate Commerce Committee and said he feels college sports, quoting here, "works extremely well for the vast majority, and that the overall current model of amateurism should be preserved." But he listed several changes he'd like to see enacted. In addition to the end of the standard year-to-year scholarships, he said scholarships should also cover the full cost of attending college, not just basics such as room and board. He also called for better health, safety, and insurance protocols, and said universities must confront what he called the national crisis of sexual assault. Emmert said such changes could come about if Division I schools decide to remake their decision-making structure in the coming weeks, giving more authority to the five biggest conferences. There's much more to this story, and you can read it on our website, chapelboro.com. It's 7:19. Top championship sports on WCHL. The Boston Celtics have added former UNC basketball star Tyler Zeller to the roster in a three-team trade finalized on Wednesday, including the Brooklyn Nets and Cleveland Cavaliers. Zeller, drafted number 17 in the first round of the 2012 NBA draft, has averaged 6.9 points and 4.9 rebounds in 147 games while he's been in Cleveland. The Celtics may have just now found a center to play alongside their string of talented power forwards. The Nets, who've gotten Cleveland's Jarrett Jack and Sergei Karasev, have also released point guard Marcus Thornton to join Zeller in Boston, completing the trade that may help the Cleveland Cavaliers bring Miami Heat champion-turned-free agent LeBron James back to his home state. LeBron James, of course, played his first several seasons with the Cleveland Cavaliers, and there's a big battle now over who gets LeBron James, and the Miami Heat trying very hard to keep him in Miami. North Carolina's Kennedy Meeks is still slimming down. A rising sophomore says he weighs about 270 pounds right now. That's down about 45 in all since he arrived on the UNC campus. In an interview with reporters on Wednesday, Meeks said he feels more explosive and can play longer stretches without getting tired. 6'9 forward weighed 300 317 pounds last summer, but slimmed down to about 285 for preseason practices. He averaged 7.6 points a game and 6.1 rebounds in 34 games in all, though he often struggled to finish around the rim or over long-arm defenders inside. Meek says he's done better in the weight room and wants to weigh 265 for next season. Meeks and rising junior Bryce Johnson will certainly have bigger roles up front this season after James Michael McAdoo left school early to pursue a pro career. Let's talk a little football. Head coach Larry Fedora's high-potent, up-tempo Tar Heel football offense receives a lot of the high-profile attention, but the Carolina coach has been pointing to the defense as the most improved so far in 2014. WCHL's Matt Oaks takes a closer look at the Carolina defensive line.
Coach Fedora is starting to feel more and more comfortable with his big guys up front on the oft-maligned Tar Heel defense that reached its low point in 2013 inside Keenan Stadium when Carolina was completely embarrassed by an East Carolina team that ran UNC ragged in front of the home fans. From that point on, though, progress has slowly been made for defensive coordinator Vic Koning's boys. Earlier in the spring, the coaching staff was especially pleased with the added depth on the line. The probable choices for the defensive tackle positions are two hefty seniors, Ethan Farmer at 6 feet 3 inches and 295 pounds, and Sean Underwood at 6 feet 1 inch and 300 pounds, should provide solid experience for the unit. Farmer took to the field in all 12 games in 2013, and Underwood saw action in 8 contests. But the pair of seniors will have younger athletes nipping at their heels. Junior Justin Thomason and redshirt freshman Greg Webb are both talented options, only further bolstering the depth up front. As far as defensive end, the Tar Heels boast a trio of players who could spend time making Saturday contributions. Although junior Jesse Rogers and sophomore junior Nankondi may have the edge at the position, don't be surprised if highly touted redshirt freshman Nazir Jones and DeJuan Drennan stir things up in opposing teams' backfields. However, the star of this defensive unit is no doubt senior bandit Norkeithus Otis. His place in the starting lineup is unquestioned. Earlier this week, Otis was tabbed as a contender for the Bednarik Award, which goes to the nation's top defensive performer. If Otis follows up his heroics in 2013 with even more improvement, 2014 could shape up to be something special in his Chapel Hill swan song. The competition should be fierce heading into fall practice, but that's good news for the Tar Heels. Despite the brutal losses of Kareem Martin and Tim Jackson to the NFL, the Carolina defensive line appears, at least for the time being, to be in capable hands. Matt Oaks, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Four players will be available during the NFL supplemental draft today, including North Carolina linebacker Darius Lifford. The supplemental draft allows qualified underclassmen who did not request early entry and to the regular draft to have a chance at entering the NFL. Teams submit picks and are awarded players if their bid for which round they would take that player is highest. Teams then lose the corresponding pick in next year's draft. Players that are not picked become free agents. Seattle third baseman and former Tar Heel All-American Kyle Seager was named to the 2014 American League All-Star team earlier this week by the MLB. Seager has already smashed 13 home runs and 59 RBIs entering this week for the Mariners and has earned a nice reward for his efforts, his first career All-Star appearance. Hope you had an opportunity to hear our Chansey Sports Notebook yesterday, which was about All-American Kyle Seager as opposed to Dustin Ackley and what he's done in his pro career. If you missed that, you can catch it on our website at chapelbro.com. While he was in Chapel Hill, Seager sported a .353 batting average in his three seasons and was the second-team All-America second baseman as a sophomore in 2008. The North Carolina native smacked a school record 30 doubles that same season and ranks in the top 10 in career batting average, hits, doubles, triples, and total bases at UNC. He led the Heels to three consecutive College World Series appearances, including a spot in the championship series in 2007. Seager will replace Toronto's Edwin Encarnacion, who was announced as the American League starter at third base before being placed on the disabled list on Monday. With this selection, Seager has become the eighth Tar Heel to earn a coveted spot in the All-Star game. That's a quick look at WCHL Championship Sports. I'm Ron Stutz.
Our Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Who is the UNC benefactor paying Rashad McMars $10 million? This is our Chansky with Thursday Sports Notebook. You've got to give it to Rashad McMars. He is throwing $310 million against the wall and hopes some of it sticks. It takes guts, or someone who just dropped in from Mars, who will never be welcomed back into the state of North Carolina, to say things that are both crazy and contradictory. He's been quoted in his various media appearances saying that UNC and the NCAA are already cutting him checks for $10 million and $300 million respectively. In other stories, he says those payments are in the process. In still others, he says that's the plan. Well, my plan is to fly around the world without a plane. But saying so doesn't make it so, does it? What's up with this guy anyway? Roy Williams saved his butt so many times in school that Mick Mars should be thanking old Roy for giving him the opportunity to be a first-round NBA draft choice with a few million guaranteed dollars. Those bucks are obviously gone, and Mick Mars seems sore that Marvin Williams, Raymond Felton, and several other of his former teammates are still playing ball for pay. As a sophomore, he said playing college basketball is like being in jail. Too much going to class, too much going to practice, and not enough free time to be a regular student. But there was old number 32, front and center on the national championship podium in St. Louis, and there he was in New York with Williams and his family on NBA draft night. Now, almost 10 years later, he wants $10 million from Carolina because it didn't fulfill its part of the bargain. Take a good look in the mirror, Rashard. If you did sign up for those paper classes and let tutors write the papers, you certainly appear intelligent enough to know what you were doing. And the NCAA is cutting you a check for $300 million so you can help solve a nationwide problem? It took 5 years for EA Sports to settle with the former players for $40 million, and the NCAA is still fighting the O'Bannon case in court. But McMars is ready to get his checks. What do you possibly say about that? The school that gave him a chance, didn't boot his butt off the team, and hung his jersey in the rafters of the Smith Center has not heard a response from its request to talk to McMars. But nevertheless, the check's in the mail. Okay, this is our Chansky. See ya.
Bring the kids, welcome your neighbors, and leave the work week behind. Hi, this is Michelle from the Carolina Inn, inviting you to join us for Fridays on the Front Porch every Friday starting at 5 p.m. Fridays on the Front Porch provides the perfect atmosphere for kicking back, relaxing, and getting a jump start on the weekend. Enjoy great food, live music, and fun times under the shady oaks and magnolia trees. There's no cover charge or reservations to attend. For more information, visit CarolinaInnEvents.com.
If you or your child suffer from stubborn acne that doesn't respond to over-the-counter treatments, it makes sense to see a dermatologist. This is Dr. Beth Goldstein with Central Dermatology Center. We offer comprehensive acne treatment for both adolescents and adults. Our acne treatment plans are personalized to help each patient get better. You don't have to live with acne. To discover how we can help, request an appointment online at centralderm.net or give us a call at 919-401-1994. We accept most major insurances.
Hey, this is Dan Patrick from my friends at the Chapel Hill Restaurant Group. The group recently opened up a new restaurant. It's called Page Road Grill. Great place to meet friends in the middle of the triangle. They got fantastic southern cuisine. They got 20 beers on tap, plenty of parking, but they also offer a full catering menu. And they can handle any and all of your catering needs. They can do a small office event or cocktail party, or they can go big. They've actually catered events for over 1,000 folks. They can provide lunch and dinner buffets with feature menu selections from their award-winning restaurants. Mez, Squids, 411 West, 518 West, or Spanky's. They can also do box breakfasts or lunches or elegant dinner parties. And, of course, they offer an incredible selection of hors d'oeuvres and appetizers that will make any gathering a culinary success. There's only one problem they need to address. They don't go out of state, so they can't deliver to my man cave here. PageRoadGrill.com or click on catering. That's PageRoadGrill.com. PageRoadGrill.com.
Today is your last chance for a great offer at OurLocalDeal.com from Carolina Air Conditioning Company. It's 72% off. A summer air conditioning checkup valued at $140, available today for only $39. Carolina Air Conditioning has been in the HVAC business since 1947. Their certified specialists will provide you with a 5-star 26-point heating and cooling checkup to ensure you won't be left out in the Carolina heat. It's 72% off from Carolina Air Conditioning Company. And today's your last chance. So buy it now until midnight at OurLocalDeal.com.
Hello, this is Eric Montross, and you're listening to the WCHL Morning News with Ron Stutz.
All right, thank you, Eric. It is 7:30 at WCHL, 77 degrees in Chapel Hill. And this Chapel Hill Carborough weather forecast is brought to you by Crown Honda of South Point. It is going to be cloudy all day. We even have a chance of rain this morning. Maybe a shower, maybe an isolated thunderstorm. Then a 60% chance of rain later on in the day. Numerous showers possible, and maybe a thunderstorm, and maybe some locally heavy rainfall possible this afternoon. One of those really quick showers that will come down in a hurry and come down big time. Maybe a lot of rain today. Keep that in mind. High today about 85 degrees. Also, 60% chance of rain tonight, and we could get some heavy rainfall tonight as well. Overnight low in the upper 60s. Tomorrow, a better day. 20% chance of rain with a high in the middle 80s. Front Honda of South Point is home of Dream Service, where your scheduled service and maintenance happen while you sleep. Dream Service and Front Honda of South Point, located just a minute off 540 at the 751 exit.
97.9 FM, WCHL, is Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. And streaming live 24-7 at chapelborough.com. There's an app for that.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett. Four kids are among the six shooting victims at a house in the Houston suburb of Spring, Texas. CBS's Manuel Bajorquez has details.
Police identified the suspect as 33-year-old Ron Lee Haskell. Officers believe the shooting stems from a domestic dispute between him and his estranged wife.
One teenager survived the gunfire.
The 15-year-old girl who warned police about the gunman's next location was last listed in critical condition. Police say Ron Lee Haskell will face multiple capital murder charges when he faces a judge later today.
He surrendered after leading officers on a car chase into a cul-de-sac. He held off police for 3 hours. Harris County Constable Ron Hickman says the children who were killed were not the suspects.
We believe that the couple that resided in this residence, the kids belonged to them. So there were not kids of the suspect.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
WCHL News, talk, and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
76 degrees, 732 at WCHL. I'm Rod Stutz. Orange County Sheriff candidate David Caldwell says he's feeling good about what he calls a history-making election in the upcoming second primary for the office, despite the typical low voter turnout during runoff races. WCHL's Danny Hooley has details.
The intensity is unbelievable. The amount of people that are involved and more informed has really blown me away.
That's Orange County Sheriff candidate David Caldwell comparing the first six-way Democratic primary for Orange County Sheriff back in May and the runoff election between himself and Charles Blackwood that comes up on July 15th. Nearly 6,000 voters cast ballots in the early voting period leading up to that May primary, which could have determined the next person to take the job since there are no Republicans running. But no clear winner emerged. Blackwood received the most votes at 30%, but 40% was needed to avoid a runoff, and Caldwell was only a little more than 60 votes behind him. Blackwood recently expressed concerns to WCHL that low voter turnout in the runoff could spell trouble for his campaign. Caldwell, however, told WCHL that he was optimistic after 2 days of early voting had been completed, and 481 votes had been cast at the Orange County Board of Elections office in Hillsborough. He said that's actually more than he expected, which is one of the reasons Caldwell said he felt so hopeful.
I think this is going to surprise a lot of people. I don't think it's going to be as low as they think. It's going to be a history-making election.
For another thing, he said, it will mark the first time residents have voted in a new sheriff in 31 years. If elected, Caldwell would be the first African-American Orange County sheriff in a history of the office that dates back to 1752.
Another history-making event that makes this election so important. I think one of the reasons why so many people are excited about it. It's just going to be history-making all around.
Retiring Sheriff Lindy Pendergrass has endorsed Blackwood, who began his career in the Sheriff's Department in 1980 under Sheriff Buck Knight. Caldwell is a lifelong Orange County resident, who's worked for the Carborough Police Department in addition to 22 years with the Sheriff's Department. Between those two jobs, he served in the Army, in Germany, and Grenada. He told WCHL that his love for Orange County is what kept him coming back, and it's what drives him in this race.
Many people in my neighborhood that I grew up with and went to school with, they left Orange County and didn't come back because they felt there was no opportunity, there was nothing here for them, and things of that nature. I'd like to see Orange County being a place where the families did come back and did stay.
The second primary race between Caldwell and Blackwood has been cordial, and the debate has been thoughtful. But there's been a slight controversy over the issue of campaign signs mysteriously disappearing.
I've received several calls from people saying the signs that they had put up were missing and asked if I was going to put any more out or purchase any more. And I just advised that was something that we didn't have control over, and I could spend their money, their donations to my campaign a lot better on things that I could control.
Caldwell has picked up endorsements from former primary opponent Andy Cagle, as well as members of the Chapel Hill Town Council, the Carborough Board of Aldermen, the Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools Board of Education, and the Orange County Board of Commissioners. You can find a link to all of Caldwell's endorsements in this story on our website, chapelborough.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
There's also a story on Charles Blackwood that we aired yesterday here on WCHL on our website, chapelboro.com. And early voting numbers continued their downward trend on day three, the last day for which we have the numbers, with 141 people casting their ballots for Orange County Sheriff. Yesterday was technically day four of the early voting period. We'll have those numbers after 9 a.m. today. Charles Blackwood and David Caldwell are in the runoff of the position after the two were separated by just more than 60 votes in the May 6th primary. Only the Board of Elections headquarters is taking votes during this early voting period. All 44 precincts will be open on Election Day, which is next Tuesday. The polls are open each day this week from 9 to 5 for early voting, and on Saturday, the last day of early voting, from 9 to 1. Election Day itself is Tuesday. All the polls open that day from 6:30 a.m. until 7:30 p.m. Orange County Board of Elections is located at 208 South Cameron Street in Hillsborough, next to the Orange County Financial Services Office. And again, you can vote for either Charles Blackwood or David Caldwell for Orange County Sheriff. That is for all the voters of Orange County. If you want to do early voting, go to Orange County Board of Elections Office in Hillsborough. And if you want to wait for Election Day itself, that, of course, is Tuesday. Governor Pat McCrory has criticized the North Carolina Senate for failing to bridge a budget impasse on education and walking out on education leaders during negotiations. The governor made those comments yesterday during a meeting of his education cabinet. Senate Republicans walked out of a budget meeting after the House asked educators to speak. McCrory said that the Senate should be listening to educators, not walking out on them. He said he's disappointed in the Senate and is not concerned about agitating them, adding that he needs to stand up for North Carolinians. The Senate's budget includes an 11% teacher raise, but makes cuts in funding for teachers' assistants and to Medicaid to pay for that. McCrory called the raise unrealistic and unsustainable long term. Today marks the one-year anniversary of the legislature's greatly unfavorable bill, SB 353, also known as the Motorcycle Vagina Bill. This bill got attention all over the country and created a lot of unfavorable publicity for the state of North Carolina. The Motorcycle Vagina Bill was originally presented to the Senate as a bill that would increase methods of motorcycle safety. However, in reality, the majority of SB 353 turned out to be actually dedicated to accessibility of abortion, which made it difficult for women to access sanitary and reliable clinics. Additionally, it prohibited insurance plans, even those under the Affordable Care Act, to pay for abortions, as well as required the presence of a doctor at all times when a patient is given drugs for inducing abortions. Abortion rights advocates in North Carolina say they're in the dark about the new rules required by the year-old law that they fear could effectively shut down many of our state's clinics. The law will require abortion clinics to meet the same standards as outpatient surgical centers. The state has 15 abortion clinics. The only facility that had met the current standards for surgical centers no longer provides abortions. Lawmakers and groups like Planned Parenthood are waiting for the State Department of Health and Human Services to draft the new rules, but say they've heard nothing yet on what those rules are going to look like. The agency would not comment on what the rules would include, but said it's still working on writing them. The legislature didn't set a guideline for when the rules had to be completed. Despite the disapproval of a vast number of North Carolina citizens, this bill was introduced in the middle of the night a year ago, which sparked immense controversy over women's rights in the previous session. Speaker of the House and now Republican candidate for U.S. Senate, Tom Tillis, was one of the politicians who worked to make certain that this motorcycle vagina bill was passed. He continued to push the bill despite the 80% of voters in North Carolina who believed it was not appropriate to include restrictions on abortion within a bill about motorcycle safety. Some politicians spoke out, claiming they didn't even know that the changes had been made to include legislation about abortions, while others voted despite the abortion pieces in order to increase safety for motorcyclists, they said. There was even a Moral Monday protest focused exclusively on women's rights and leadership, which followed the passing of the infamous bill. It ended up being one of the largest turnouts the protest event has seen and ended in hundreds of people being arrested. SB 353 proved to be a seriously controversial bill that had some calling into question the morality and acceptability of utilizing one particular proposal to pass legislation regarding something that is wholly unrelated. Opponents said it significantly jeopardized women's rights and created a highly unfavorable situation for all members of the North Carolina Senate. The so-called motorcycle vagina bill also became fodder for all the late-night talk shows and stand-up routines. NCAA President Mark Emmert has told a Senate committee yesterday he supports scholarships for life and other reforms in how athletes are treated, then did a good job of casting himself, they say, as a powerless figurehead. One senator told him, "I can't tell whether you're in charge or whether you're a minion." Emmert faced a skeptical Senate Commerce Committee and said he feels college sports works extremely well for the vast majority and that the overall current model of amateurism should be preserved. But he listed several changes he'd like to see enacted. In addition to the end of the standard year-to-year scholarships, Emmert said scholarships should also cover the full cost of attending college, not just basics such as room and board. He also called for better health, safety, and insurance protocols and said universities have to confront what he called the national crisis of sexual assault. Emmert said such changes could come about if Division I schools decide to remake their decision-making structure in the coming weeks, giving more authority to the five biggest conferences. There's much more to this story. You can read it on our website, chapelboro.com. WCHL News Time, 7:41. Ron Sutz here, along with Rand Northam, who just walked out of the newsroom. And, Rand, I know you've heard about this John Wayne deal with Duke University.
I did.
It's Duke versus Duke.
Yeah, pretty funny.
It really is. It's hard not to laugh when you read this story. John Wayne's heirs are dueling with Duke University over the family's rights to market bottles of bourbon branded with the late movie star's nickname, Duke. A federal lawsuit filed last week is the latest salvo in a long-running feud between Duke University and California-based John Wayne Enterprises over who controls the trademark for commercial products featuring the name. University fired the first shot, opposing a 2005 trademark application filed by John Wayne's heirs to use the name Duke for a restaurant. School's lawyers say allowing Wayne Enterprises to use Duke could cause confusion and tarnish the value of the moniker. Wayne's heirs point to the actor's use of the nickname since he was a child. The bourbon bottle features an image of John Wayne holding a rifle with the name Duke emblazoned over it. And I know you're a lot younger than I am, but when I was growing up, I mean, John Wayne was in westerns all the time, and he was the man. I mean, seriously.
Well, would you say that guy? Would you say they're duking it out?
Hadn't even thought of that. That's a good one. Yeah, I mean, come on, it's his nickname.
Yep.
You know, before he even knew anything about Duke University.
You know, everybody, they want their what am I trying to think of?
I don't know. I think I know what you mean.
They want their name. They want their, you know, their item, their, you know, whatever it is. They want to protect it.
And they want their patent.
That's right.
On their intellectual property.
Exactly.
And
intellectual
otherwise.
Property, yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of ridiculous.
Well, so that's an interesting story. But here I found another one this morning looking around. Did you hear about D'Angelo Williams and the potential fake Marine?
No.
D'Angelo Williams was at an airport, and he saw a Marine in his dress blues waiting. And he tweeted out a picture with his ticket, which he gave to that Marine, and a picture of the Marine as well. And shared the fact that he always gives up his seat to any member of the military if his seat is better. Now, he's not going to give up the seat to somebody, you know, if it's behind him or something like that. But he had it said premium on it, premium seat, very nice one. I think it was like the front seat in first class or something like that. So he gave it to the Marine.
Yeah.
Awesome. It went viral on Twitter and all that, and people were, you know, really proud of what D'Angelo did.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it comes back that apparently this Marine, there was something funny about him because people were saying, well, his medals are just kind of out of order. He had a bunch of medals on his jacket, so they were kind of out of order.
People who would know, I guess.
Sure, And then somebody else said, well, Marines don't usually wear their dress blues indoors for travel and things like that. Like, it was just kind of weird. The other thing I noticed, and I'm not sure of the Marines' code, but he was wearing his hat, and he was indoors.
Uh-huh.
And I think that if you're indoors, that any member of the military service takes their hat off.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, because I've seen some movies doing it, you know, where they have their hat indoors, and I don't know how true the movies are, too.
True.
You know, but that kind of, so, but I think the great thing that came out of this is that D'Angelo said, this isn't going to stop me from doing it ever again. Mm-hmm. I'll do it time and time again. I don't care if they're fake. I don't care if they're real. That it's so important that he gives up his seat to a member of the military service. Just outstanding for him to do that. And for him to react that way and not react poorly. Just great all around.
Who was the actress who did that about a week ago? Gave up her seat in first class to a passenger in the military and did not tweet it out or anything. It just somebody else tweeted it out.
Isn't it Amy?
Yeah, Amy Adams.
Amy Adams. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's the redhead, right?
She did it and apparently did not do it for publicity reasons or photo op or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But she just did it because she wanted to do it, and then somebody else let the word out, and she wasn't going to tell anybody.
Yep.
But I thought that was really cool.
I think it's done a lot. It is, and that's great. And I it's just wonderful that people do that. Great, excellent thing.
We all appreciate them.
We do.
You know, really,
we certainly do.
They may not, some of them may not think so, but we do.
Yeah, and no matter what you believe, whether we should be at war or not, or even have a military or not, those people are giving up their lives and their families to protect our freedom. So I think it's very important to say thank you.
You can't be against the actual people who are fulfilling their duty,
it is. Exactly.
They didn't necessarily choose to go to war, but they're doing it because they were, they're following orders to do that.
That's right.
At any rate, what's at chapelboro.com today?
At chapelboro.com, we have Girl Meets Grill. It's Elizabeth Terry Joyner, and she talks about her encounter with a grill. But it's not quite as severe as Jeff Danner's. I don't know if you all remember, but Jeff Danner wrote a column after his trip to Brazil and talked about a just hair-raising event with a grill that he had and talks about that. So this one, though, is Girl Meets Grill. You can find both of those columns on our website, chapelboro.com. In our short list, we've got a new short list. It is July now, and we're looking for the best place for a frozen treat. Ooh. That is quite fitting for the summer.
Sounds good.
Yeah, definitely. And in our photo gallery, we've got Happy Hour with the League of Women Voters. And did you know this? That men can join now, too.
Really?
Yeah. They're accepting men to the League of Women Voters.
I did not know that.
So check those photos out. Many beautiful photos by Susan Murray on there, and much more available on our website, chapelboro.com, with instantly live streaming on an app for that.
747 at WCHL, traffic and weather together next.
AT&T asks, are you that guy? That guy who not only paints his face to cheer on his team, but then paints his entire torso? Well, you don't have to be that guy to prove your fanhood. Switch to AT&T and follow your favorite team like never before. It's much better than perusing the hardware store for this season's color palette of belly paints. You have the speed to get scores, stats, and highlights fast with AT&T. Rethink possible.
Visit att.com or store for details.
At Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace Headquarters, we are thrilled with the tremendous response to our hot, fresh coffee, but we need to clarify a few points. Cruiser's brews fresh coffee and discards any that doesn't get enjoyed while fresh. This not-so-fresh coffee is not available for purchase and resale by other coffee shops. Though Cruiser sells coffee shop quality coffee using 100% Arabica beans, we cannot provide the snooty service often associated with coffee shops. And although our taste rate guarantee is a wonderful start, we cannot guarantee that the rest of your day will be perfect. That, my friend, is up to you. Fresh, great-tasting coffee, guaranteed, only at Cruiser's. Good to go.
Ellie Kinnaird says it is time for North Carolina to catch up with modern technology. And on our What You're Saying on the Street feature for today, we went to the UNC campus to find out what Carolina students think about the upcoming football season at Carolina. That is on the way.
And now, WCHL presents The Commentators.
This is Ellie Kinnaird. We heard about the benefits of 20th century energy, fracking, and offshore drilling. Today I want to tell you about 21st century energy, and it's happening right here in North Carolina. Google announced that it is expanding its data center in Lenoir. As part of that expansion, it will include a renewable energy program that Duke Energy is creating for large customers. Energy sold under the new tariff would come from new sources, either from independent renewable energy developers or projects Duke Energy itself creates. Apple, another of our large electricity users, located in Maiden, North Carolina, said it operates some of the world's most efficient data centers, consuming 50% less energy than typical centers. Apple has installed solar panels at its corporate headquarters and is pushing utilities to offer renewable power options to companies that requested it. They completed a 20-megawatt solar farm next to the center and expect a second 20-megawatt farm to go online late this year. Apple says its renewable facilities in Maiden produce enough energy to power 17,600 homes for a year. Our own Bank of America has dedicated itself to a 10-year, $50 billion business initiative, bringing the company's global goal to $70 billion over the next few years. In 2012 alone, Bank of America provided more than $4.5 billion in a number of innovative transactions under its Environmental Business Initiative, the largest of any financial institution. SAS, a business analytics software and services company in Raleigh, is a leader in investing in solar energy and zero energy usage. They have completed a second solar farm, which will produce an estimated 1.9 million kilowatt hours each year, enough to power more than 175 average size homes. It has a tracker system that captures up to 25% more energy over fixed systems. Combination of energy efficiency buildings and solar distributive power on every roof would reduce our energy use by 40%. So, which is it going to be? 20th century polluting energy that destroys our beautiful landscape and could pollute our water, or 21st century job-creating clean energy? Do we have vision and bold courage? Are we forward-thinking, or are we stuck in the 20th century? This is Ellie Kinnaird.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues on 97.9 FM, WCHL. What You're Saying on the Street, presented by ISIS IT. What You're Saying on the Street.
Hi, I'm Kyle Ng. With the start of the next season in just a month, UNC football looks to have another strong season. Amongst our players such as return man Ryan Switzer and quarterback Marquise Williams, new faces such as Elijah Hood, the 47th overall player in the ESPN 300, hope to add to a successful season at Carolina. We hit the streets to find out how you think UNC football will do in the ACC this season.
My name is Mike Arneson. I'm a student at UNC, and I think the UNC football team will do moderately well to decent this year.
Mallory, I'm a student at UNC. I think that they're going to do pretty well in the ACC this year.
My name is Christian Aponte. I'm a student at UNC. I think we have a good chance this year. I don't really follow the team that much. I'm not really sure how far they'll go, but I think we'll do a lot better than we did last year.
I'm Jonathan Bug Howard, play receiver, number 84. This year, we're looking forward to winning the ACC. I think our schedule is pretty tough, but I think we got the athlete and the coaching now to come through with a win in the ACC.
How successful do you think UNC football will be in the ACC this season?
I'm a student at UNC. My name is Anthony Martin. I think we'll be pretty good. I mean, we're preseason ranked at 17, I believe. We have a good quarterback coming in. I don't know whether he's going to start, but, you know, we definitely need a pocket passer, and he looks like he can do that for us. We lost some talent to the draft this year, but hopefully we'll be able to make that up with some new and upcoming players to take over those positions. I think we play Clemson this year, and they may be the biggest threat that we have in ACC right now. Duke possibly could be another threat, but hopefully, you know, we can get that W this year. I think we're going to end up pretty good. I think, you know, last year we made the bowl, so this year I think we're going to make a better bowl. We're going to have a better season, a better record.
I'm IK. Yeah, I think they should do pretty well. They did pretty well last year. I mean, they had like a winning record and like a really good offense, I guess, but to do pretty well. Not like fantastic, but like pretty good for this school.
That's what you're saying on the street. On 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
That's a sampling of opinions from the UNC campus on the Carolina football program this year. 7:53 at WCHL. Time now for traffic and weather together. First, traffic with Rand Norton.
Thank you very much, Ron. 15501 northbound and southbound right now between Estes Drive and Garrett Road. Through the I-40 interchange, seeing some delays, just minor to moderate there. NC-54 heading westbound between I-40 and Barbie Chapel Road, seeing some minor delays as well. No accidents being reported, no additional delays, but if you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363, or you can tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather, really cloudy day, big chance of rain, and 60% chance of rain. In fact, we could get some rain this morning. We could get some really heavy rain in the afternoon, maybe a thunderstorm or two. Our high today about 85. 7:54 at WCHL, running a little short on time this morning, and that's we have Wayne Pond here with the word of the day. How you doing,
well,
Wayne?
Well, that's okay. I'm only about 5'6", so, you know, if you're running short, so am I. What can
All right, tell you?
Man.
What kind of word you got?
I got a dandy for you here. Apropos of this highly amusing situation between the University of New Jersey at Durham and the actor's estate,
yeah,
the John Wayne case, the word of the day is effigy. Effigy EFFIGY, 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 a noun, an image, a likeness, a sculpted image. It can go on a tomb, for example. Or a third meaning here, a crude figure representing a hated person. So you pick your application there, big round boy.
Yeah.
And apply the word effigy. EFFIGY, number one, an image or a likeness, just generally speaking. Two, a sculptured image on a tomb, mm-hmm. or a crude figure representing a hated person.
All right. Hey, listen, thanks a lot, buddy.
And I've just enjoyed it, as always. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Right, you got it. Wayne Pond's Word of the Day on WCHL, brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else? Next hour, you have an opportunity to call in and tell me the word of the day. Spell it, find it. If you can do all that, we'll give you a $10 gift card to Cruisers.
97.9 FM, 1360 AM, WCHL. Time now for the clean joke of the day. Marissa Peterson is here. Marissa.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
All right. Look good. Nice purple shirt.
Why, thank you.
Yeah, it's nice of you to get dressed up today. You don't have to get so dressy in order to come do the joke, but yeah, I appreciate it.
I've been trying. I don't want to be replaced. I have to step my game up.
Oh, well, hey, you know, look at the way I dress. I mean, you know, the bar is set pretty darn high.
I've already told you about the standards that you set. I like them.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow. I didn't realize I had any. But thanks. You just like me because I laugh at your jokes for the most part. You got a good one today?
I think this is a funny one.
Well, let's jump right into it.
Okay, so a husband and wife have just gotten pulled over by a cop.
Uh-oh.
The cop says, "You're at least going 75 in a 55 zone."
Wow.
The man says, "No, sir, I was only going 65. His wife, "Oh, Harry, you were going 80. The man gives his wife a dirty look. The cop says, "I'm also going to have to give you a ticket for your broken taillight." The man says, "Broken taillight? I didn't know about a broken taillight." Harry's wife says, "Oh, Harry, you've known about that taillight for weeks." The man gives his wife another dirty look. The cop says, "I'm also going to give you a citation for not wearing your seatbelt."
Oh.
Man says, "Oh, I just took it off when you were walking up to the car." The man's wife says, "Oh, Harry, you never wear your seatbelt." "Shut your mouth, woman." Then the cop says, "Ma'am, does your husband always talk to you that way?" Wife says, "Nope, only when he's drunk."
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights the great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
The town of Chapel Hill's July 4th celebration and other special events are coordinated by Wes Tillman. Everything runs smoothly when Wes does it. After it's over, he may look like he's been in a prize fight, but everything went really well.
When we put this event together for the July 4th, it's really a combination of certainly the work that we do here in Parks and Recreation, but also the work at the university and working with those folks at UNC Athletics and UNC Public Safety. And then, of course, our Chapel Hill Fire Department and our Landscape Division over at Parks and Recreation. We all kind of pitch in and have key roles that we play to make this event happen. Because we are using that beautiful stadium over at Kenan, it's a ready-made venue for an event like this. And because we have that infrastructure and that big, nice stadium in place, we just need to make sure we're all in the right place at the right time, got good communications going, and we just click it off and kind of make it happen. But it really is a fun event to do.
Wes Tillman is today's WCHL hometown hero. The 4th of July was a blast.
It is kind of an orchestrated effort. There's a pretty defined plan, but, you know, it is, I guess, a role that I play that I enjoy doing, although, you know, it never hurts to have a curveball or two thrown at you and see how well you can ad-lib when you have to. And I have to tell you that you were there right by my side all night making sure that we looked like we really knew what we were doing.
I know that you love Chapel Hill, and that's why you get so much enjoyment out of your job.
Yeah, you know, Ron, Chapel Hill's a very special place to me. I'm a native to this area. My parents and grandparents both grew up in this area. But Chapel Hill is just a really neat place to be. It's obviously the village atmosphere. It's a very progressive community. It's a community that shares and enjoys that community spirit. And it's a community that you learn to enjoy serving. And celebrating July 4th and reactions that we get from up to 30,000 people in the crowd and the many kind comments that we get from everyone following an event like this. It really just makes all the hard work and the necessary details all worth it.
Wes, now that that's over, what do you like to do in your spare time?
You know, Ron, I've got a couple of things. I love to find water anywhere I can and enjoy maybe a little surfing or kayaking. Here in Chapel Hill, I've learned to enjoy some mountain biking and some other things, but I've just enjoyed downtime, family.
Well, Wes, thank you for doing what you do. It helps Chapel Hill celebrate the way it should.
Thanks so very much.
Wes Stillman, the town of Chapel Hill, today's WCHL hometown hero.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Border crisis.
We're happy to consider National Guard down there.
Government web attack.
Investigators believe the break-in was the work of Chinese hackers.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup, a chaotic and deadly night outside Houston.
All units be advised, this individual shot multiple persons. He is very dangerous.
It began at a home in Spring, Texas, where four children and two adults were shot and killed.
I've not personally in 40 years seen a tragedy in one family that's this horrific.
Harris County Constable Ron Hickman says the suspect is 33-year-old Ronald Haskell, who came to the home dressed as a delivery man, he says, and there was some sort of dispute.
The victims were shot in this residence, and we now learn that Mr. Haskell was married to a relative of the residents of this home.
A 15-year-old girl who survived the gunfire in the home called police to warn her grandparents were a possible target. Witnesses say the suspect sped off.
We just saw this car that they were chasing turn into the cul-de-sac, and all the cops flew right past us and followed him.
After a three-hour standoff with police, Haskell surrendered. President Obama's in Texas. He's deflecting critics, that is, who say he should visit the border. It's where tens of thousands of children from Central America have entered this year. White House correspondent Peter Mayer.